To you today in our, I'm not sure which message it is, I think it's the sixth out of nine in our Acts Normal series. If you're a guest with us, we've been walking through the book of Acts, not in a verse-by-verse type of a way, but in a theme-by-theme type of way. And we've looked at various themes throughout that book. If you've missed any of the messages, you can catch them online on video, or you can order the CDs of those. God has just been teaching us some really, really wonderful things. And so I recommend that you get those messages and review them or listen to them for the first time. Today, I want to talk to you about you are called to act normal. This message is on the call of God. How many have ever heard that phrase, the call of God? Okay, quite a few of you. How many would be honest and say, I really don't altogether understand what that means? Okay, a few of you. Okay, not so many. That so many of you say, I do kind of get it. I know, here's what I know, that whenever I say how many don't understand, that a great majority are thinking, I'm not raising my hand because I don't want to look like the one who doesn't understand. Okay, I understand. I know that that happens. And I know that there's lots of misunderstanding when it comes to this subject of the call of God. How many would say this morning that you feel you have a call of God on your life? Okay, a little more than 50%. Okay, for those that didn't raise their hand, either you're shy or you don't think you have a call of God in your life. By the time I'm done today, everybody will raise their hand. Because you'll realize every single person who calls Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior is a called person according to God's purposes. It's one of our four key markers of identity, family, purpose, and sacrifice. Purpose. God has called you for a purpose. He saved you for a purpose. You weren't saved for salvation's sake alone. Okay, good. I'm saved. That's all there is. Whew. Not going to hell, going to heaven. All right, now I feel good about life. Now, there's so much more than that. Yes, that's the key component, that we're now identified with Christ, a part of His family, but He now has a purpose for us. And in that purpose is His call, the direction for our life to lead us and to guide us. I remember being a young boy, 7, 8, 9 years old, maybe even actually a little younger than that, 5, 6, and 7, and being at altars and coming and praying. And I don't know how long sometimes when you're a child, 5 minutes seems like an hour. But I remember spending significant time before the Lord and sensing His presence and sensing His purposes in my life to do nothing but give Him everything I had and to serve Him in a full-time capacity. Now, for me, that meant serving Him in a ministerial capacity. You are a full-time minister, whether you're a pastor, whether you're a elementary school teacher, whether you're a technician, whether you're an engineer, whether you're a software engineer, whether you're a construction worker, no matter what you are, you're called to full-time ministry. That thing you do that earns your paycheck, you may call that your vocation, but that's not your ministry. That's what pays the bills. And how many know that a paycheck doesn't determine whether you're a full-time minister or not? It doesn't. You're in full-time ministry no matter where you are by virtue of the fact that you're a Christian. Now, some are called by God to function in a ministerial capacity. And when I say that, I mean in a professional ministerial capacity. Pastors, teachers, administrators, leaders, so on. But everybody's been called with a purpose. And as a young boy, I was called into that life. And as I grew up, I started to waver a little bit, not so certain what God would have me to do. And in 1984, the summer I traveled with Bethany University, God reconfirmed that call. And He was very clear to me that I would be not going to be in a secular workforce, but I would be full-time giving my life to pastoring and teaching people about Him and to show them how to live for God. And that's just all I've ever wanted to do and all I've ever loved doing. But that doesn't mean that because you're not doing what I'm doing, that you're not called. And today we're going to help understand all that. So what does it mean to have a calling on my life? What does that mean? Well, hopefully we've already started in this introduction to help you realize you are all called by God. Let's just say that together. I am called. Okay, you can run with it all you want. Okay, I am called by God. Say it again. I am called by God. You are. It doesn't matter what you do for a living. It doesn't matter if you're a student. It doesn't matter if you're retired. You're called of God. Because He has a purpose for your life. And that purpose will lead you. That purpose fulfills you. That purpose is what gets you up in the morning. That purpose is what he will one day return and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Not because you were in a position where you got paid to do the ministry, but because you fulfilled his calling in your life. Every single one of us is called. Well, how do I know if God has called me? What happens? And there are many different ways to understand that. One is by reading the Bible and realizing what God has called us already to do. That we don't need some invitation on the point of a flaming sword that says, this is my call for you. This is what you're supposed to do. We're actually going to find out today that that might be one of the signs when we need that kind of call of immaturity. That those who can read God's word and see clearly what he's asked us to do, we respond to that calling of God right in his scripture. Other times, God will give you a person-to-person specific calling. Like in the book of Acts. We see the most glaring and most obvious one is the call of the Apostle Paul. He was a persecutor of the church. In chapter 7 and 8, you see the martyrdom of Stephen and then the further persecution of the church. But then on his way to do that evil work, Jesus Christ confronted him on the road to Damascus, that he had a salvation experience. And God very specifically said, Paul, I want you to go to the Gentile nations. A very, very specific call. Some of you have had something specific like that in your life. But God doesn't call everybody that way. Just because he doesn't call you that way doesn't mean you're not called. It just means you haven't had that kind of a specific call. Now that was an audible type situation where God spoke to him. When God called me into pastoral ministry, I never heard a voice. I never heard anybody say anything. But John 10 says that his sheep know his voice. That I knew that God was speaking to me. And if anybody's ever curious about how God speaks, there are various ways to understand that and to test that. But this isn't going to satisfy a lot of you. But the simple fact is, when God talks to you, you know. You know it's his voice. But then, of course, there's a way to test that. Testing it by God's word. Testing it by wise counsel of people more mature in the faith than you that you can talk to and pray with you. The test of time and so on. There are many ways to test to verify whether or not that truly was God's voice. How do you know you're called? The Bible will show you and tell you that you already are called. And I'll explain that more in a minute. Or when God speaks to you directly. Or there's even a different kind of a call that it's just realizing what God's will is. And Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 3 talks about that we can know and approve his good and perfect will when we walk apart from the sin of the world and walk closely with our Savior. That we then can be able to test and approve what his will is. But let's dive in further. The nature of the call. The nature of the call. What's the essence of God's call? Now, how many would say that you have always been afraid, or you have in the past been afraid of the call of God because you are absolutely certain if you had a call from God, he was going to ask you to do something that you 100% did not want to do? Anybody there? Okay. I don't want to listen to this. I don't want to have God call me because I know he's going to ask me to go to some snake and insect infested place that I don't want to be in. It's going to be horrible because that's just the way God is. He wants us to suffer. And if we don't suffer, then you can't be called. How many have felt that? It's just going to be horrible if you answer God's call. Why doesn't God ever call anybody to Maui? Why doesn't he do that? I don't get that. Call me to Tahiti, man. I'm in. I'm on that boat right now saying, yes, Lord, you're the commander. Thank you, Jesus. But nobody wants to go to some of these other places that we would consider undesirable. Can I just tell you, that's when we get our own emotions and our own mind in the way of God's call. Here's a key component to understand. The call of God is the expression of God's nature, not ours. Not ours. It's God's nature that accompanies the call. What kind of God do we serve? Do we serve a God who just gets his willies by making us uncomfortable? Do we serve a God who just gets excited about watching us suffer? Now, to be honest, is there suffering with following Christ? Of course there is. We're in a spiritual battle. There's a spiritual enemy. There's light. There's darkness. And there's a struggle. And there will be those times of discomfort and struggle We read the Bible and we go, oh man, it's all over the place. But here's what I know. When you answer God's call, when you fulfill the purpose that God has for your life, what happens is that those difficult times, those sacrificial times you go through, as the Apostle Paul wrote, they become the marks of your greatest joy. That you get to that place when Paul is in prison in the book of Philippians, when he said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. It's a pleasure to suffer for the name of Christ. I want to know Christ, and I want to even fellowship in his hardship so that I can associate with him all the more. That at the beginning, we think, God, I don't want to do that because I know it's going to hurt. I know it's going to be hard. Well, when you're in the midst of it, you realize, this is all I ever want to do. This is God's call in my life. Maybe you've been in one of those services, maybe a mission service where the stories are told and you feel so drawn and you feel so directed and you feel so just magnetically pulled in and you find yourself saying the words in prayer, oh God, I'll do anything for you. And as soon as you say, I'll do anything for you, your mind goes, what did I just say? Oh no. Anything means certainly something I'm going to hate. Is that God's nature? To call us into something that certainly we're going to hate? That we're just going to have to endure for the rest of our life in this miserable state? The answer is no. That's not his nature. And God's call is consistent with his nature. Not only is it consistent, it's the expression of his nature. And anytime we separate the call of God from the nature of God, we distort both. And God, it's not the God that is defined by our nature or by our mentality. He's beyond that. He's bigger than that. His love is greater than that. His kindness is greater than that. His joy is greater than that. Have there been difficulties and hardships in our over 30 years of ministry here? Yes. But here's what I know. I would rather go through that any day than not be a part of his call and purpose of my life. Pretty much all the time. I know that God doesn't show us the fullness of his pathway for us because we look at what he's going to lead us through and we go, not going. Amen. No, if I knew that's where I was headed, I'm not going. But when he takes you step by step, he strengthens you also step by step. He fulfills you step by step so that the strength you needed to get through what you're going to go through there, you achieved by the step-by-step journey. You follow me? That no athlete can, we're going to have the Olympics in a couple of weeks, no athlete suddenly can run like Usain Bolt, but he didn't even run like Usain Bolt when he was younger. But by step-by-step training, little by little, now he's able to be the fastest man in the world, but only through the journey. And we're on that. So God leads us step-by-step, and when the strength is necessary for you to go through some of those times, he's there for you. He's a benevolent God. He's a kind God. He's a gracious God. But he's our Father. And that means he doesn't remove the hard times, but he strengthens you so that the hard times you do face are that which actually serve, as Romans and James says, to make you even more mature, more complete, more knowing him and in love with him and full in him. So let's never, ever, ever separate the call from the nature of God. But what's the method of his call? How does it happen? How does it happen? Well, we already mentioned a couple of them. First of all, there's the direct call. The direct call. What does that mean, the direct call? Well, it means that God speaks to you directly and he tells you what to do. Jonah is an example of a direct call. God very literally said, Jonah, you're living in Israel. I want you to go to Nineveh, and here's the message. And Jonah said, I heard what you say, Lord, and my answer to that is no. I'm going somewhere else. How many have been there? You know what he wants you to do, and you're not agreeing. You're not buying in. Well, when you do that, it turns into a really barfy situation. You know the story of Jonah, right? Yeah, okay. It's not pleasant every time we abandon God's call. But it's direct. God said, here's what I want you to do. We already talked about Saul. I want you to go to the Gentiles. And other places in the book of Acts, there's this direct call. Here's very specifically what I want you to do. Here's my direction for your life. Now, God called me into full-time ministry, pastoring like I do, but he didn't tell me to come to Cupertino. Now, little by little, he directed that path. But I didn't know that part. I'm an East Bay kid. I'm born in Oakland and raised over there in that side of the Bay Area. And I'm way more comfortable with blue collar than I am all this tech stuff. I have a hard time even figuring out how to turn the computer on half the time. But it's just not my world. But God knows what God is doing, and He directs our steps. So He gives us a direct call. How many would say you've received in your life a direct call? Okay, a couple of you. Okay, a few, very few. And that's consistent. I would say I agree with that lower percentage of hands that went up. There were four or five of you, and some of you were doing the little alligator arms like type of thing. And that's most of what's true. Most everybody doesn't receive that kind of a direct call. But it's real, and it's powerful. And people all over the world, missionaries and evangelists and pastors and teachers and prophets and apostles, so on, that they're functioning in the direct call of God as He's showed them which way He wants them to go. Now, there's another call that we call the general call. The general call. This is most obviously found in Matthew 28, 18 to 20. When Jesus is about ready to ascend, and He speaks to the disciples, and He says, go into all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples, teaching them everything I've commanded you, and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, did He speak a name when He said that? No. He didn't say, Peter, here's what I want you to do. James, here's what I want you to do. Simon, this is what I want you to do. No. He spoke that to the audience of people that were there, saying, you're a follower of mine. This is my purpose for you. Church, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you fall underneath this general call. Well, Pastor, I've never been called. Yes, you have. Matthew 28 says so. You've been called to preach the gospel. And you've been filled with the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel. You've been called. And to make disciples. Some of you are teachers. Some of you are mentors. Some of you walk along with people after they've been saved. Some of you like to get out there on the front lines and bring them in. That's the whole process of the Church of Jesus Christ. As He works with us and He uses us. Every single one of you, if you've called Jesus Christ your Savior, you've been called. Paul uses a different word in 2 Corinthians 5 when he's teaching those people, and he says that we are Christ's ambassadors. Now, in that context, he's speaking about himself, but it applies as he said to us, follow me as I follow Christ. That the Holy Spirit is making His appeal through us. You are called to be a Christ's ambassador, a representative of the King here on this earth. Well, Pastor, I really don't know what my ministry is. Well, I do. It's to be a Christ ambassador. Well, I don't really have a calling. I know you have a calling. That's to go and bring people in, baptizing them, teach them everything that God has commanded. You're called because as a Christian, you come underneath the general call. That makes sense? That's all of us. So now you can really say with confidence, with conviction, I have a calling. Let's say that together. I have a calling. That's your call. You have one. It's there. Okay? Now, so we have the direct call specifically for a certain place, a certain time, sometimes for a certain season. The general call, that's the call of everybody, falls underneath that general call of God. The third one is, to me, the most precious. And I think the most powerful. And that's what I just define as the indirect call. You won't find that word in the Bible, indirect call. But it's very, very specific and very real. The most glaring examples are found in Isaiah 6 and 2 Samuel 23. Isaiah 6 is that example where the prophet is in prayer and it says that I was in the Spirit. And while the prophet Isaiah was in the Spirit, he has a vision of the throne room of God, that God is there, the angels are crying out, holy, 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 the temple is shaking. It's this just amazing sound of worship and volume of praise. And in the midst of that, God says, who will I send and who will go for us? Speaking of who will deliver the message to the people. That's all He said. And Isaiah, being in the presence of God, hears God's voice. And God didn't say, Isaiah, I see you hiding over there in the corner. Come out of there. I'm calling you. He didn't say that. God just says, as an expression of His heart, says, I want someone who will go for us. And Isaiah said, I heard God just say He needs somebody. I'm in. I'm going. That's me. God didn't directly call Isaiah. God just said, I need somebody to go. And Isaiah said, I'm in. I'm volunteering. That's my job. I'll do it. Because that's what God wants. That's an indirect call. Maybe a better example that's more understandable is found in 2 Samuel 23. 2 Samuel 23 is a brilliant scripture. I love the scripture. It's talking about David the king and his mighty men. David's got these guys, 30-ish of them, that are powerful. I mean, these guys are, you know, superheroes before there was comic books. They were just powerful, strong warriors, battlers. And they're in a situation where the Philistines have overtaken Bethlehem. And we know, where's David's hometown? Bethlehem. That's David's hometown. He grew up in the shepherd's fields of Bethlehem. That's where he raised his flocks. But at this point in time, the Philistine army has possession of the fields of Bethlehem. David remembers, as a boy, grazing his flocks in those fields. And there's a well called Jacob's Well. And he used to take his flocks and he used to water them at Jacob's Well. And as he's standing with his army overlooking the valley of Bethlehem, David has a moment of yearning for the past. And he just says to himself, man, I'd like to drink out of that water again. I'd like to drink out of that well again. And he's reminiscing. He's remembering back to the days when he used to water his flocks. And on a hot afternoon, he would go down and he'd draw from that well. And the water was so cold and it was so sweet. And he's remembering that. But he looks down now and he sees that the Philistine army, the enemy, has possession. And he's just yearning. And he just says to himself, I'd really like a drink out of that water or out of that well. Now, there are three of his mighty men standing close enough to hear David say that. And they, and I'm reading into it a bit, but here's what they basically do. Hey, did you just hear what the king said? Did you hear that? I heard him. I heard him say that. Did you hear it? Yeah, I heard him too. He just said, I'd like a drink out of that well. I got an idea. What do you say we go down there and we get him a drink out of that well? Well, are you serious? There are 20 guys down there. 20 guys? What are you kidding me? We're the mighty men. What do you think we are? We can handle this. Let's go down and let's get the king a drink. Because he just said he'd like a drink. Well, that's easy for you to say. Well, we can fight with three guys going down, but on the way out, somebody's got to carry the water. How's this going to work? Say, well, we're going. Are you in or are you not? Okay, we're in. So three guys, they go down. They fight through a garrison of Philistine, probably 20 plus guys. They fight their way in. While they're fighting, one guy dips a cup in the water. And then without spilling it, they fight their way back up the hill. All because the king said, I sure would like a drink. And they present the water to King David. And he is so moved. He is touched in his heart that he does something so strange, and it looks like it's insulting, but it's not. He pours the water out. He doesn't drink it. He says, how could I drink this water when it came at the risk of these men's lives? And he wouldn't drink it to honor them, to say thank you for the sacrifice. He didn't command them. He could have. He could have said, you know, Larry, Curly, Moe, I want you to go down. I want you to fight. Okay, go down there and fight and get me some water because I'm thirsty and I'm the king and I have a right. He could have said that and they would have done it because they're his mighty men. But they were just close enough just to hear the king say to himself, I'd really like a drink. Church, I wonder if we're close enough to our king that when the king has a heart's desire that we just jump into action. And we say, if the king wants it, it's his. But you see, a lot of us wait for the direct call. A lot of us say, well, you know, I don't really know what I'm going to do. I don't really know, you know, what I'm going to do for God because God never told me what to do. God never told me this is where I should go or that's what I should do or this is the ministry I should be a part of or if I should go on that missions trip or if I should give my life full time to vocational ministry. I'm really not doing anything right now because God's never called me to do that. And can I just say this morning, without offending anybody, that's a terribly immature thing to say. because you see, when you're a parent, and parents, you'll get this. If you're not a parent yet, maybe you don't, but you will. If you are in your home and your children are young, those are the ones you have to tell what to do all the time, right? When they're 5, 6, 7, they're old enough to understand, you have to tell them, you know, clean your room, do the dishes. Did you take a shower? Did you use soap? Did you brush your teeth? Did you use toothpaste? You have to tell them everything. You go by their room, clean your room. It's a mess. It's a hurricane in there. Clean your room. Next day, clean your room. Next day, clean your room. Next day, clean your room. Clean up your flaming room. How many times I got to tell you? It's a mess in here. The roaches don't even want to live in here. They've abandoned long ago. But as the young people grow older, hopefully, what happens is you walk by and you go, I smell cleanliness. Especially with the sons, I smell cologne. What's going on here? I don't smell sweaty socks. I smell, wait a minute, they got up on their own, on time, showered, got dressed, fixed themselves, and there's no dishes in the sink. What? Who did that? Did you do that, hon? I didn't do it. Must have been one of the kids. I'm coming. There's that growth process that happens when the children cease to be immature, having to be told what to do, but they grow up and understanding how to be a part of the family. And you know that growing up has set in. Because they did it without being told. You following me? Can you see then the problem when we wait around for God to tell us what to do? When in reality, there's a lot to do. Picture this scenario. That teenager, let's call that teenager 16, 17, 18 years old. And that teenager walks into the kitchen and in the midst of the floor of that kitchen, there's a big spill of milk in the floor. Half a gallon's been spilled there. And the child, or the teenager walks in and calls out, Father! Father! I see in the midst of my and your presence what I see here, Father, a mess in thus your house. Father, I know that you are a holy and righteous Father. And I know that messes such as this are an affront to your face. And I'm asking you, Father, I beseech thee, O Lordeth, Father of the house, what is your will in this matter? What is your will and what would you have me do with this in your divine house? I know what I'd do if I'm the father. Don't you ask me what to do. Get a mop. Amen. Clean up the mess. But what do we do in the spirit every day? Oh God, show me what to do. Oh God, use me. Oh God, I want to be your man. I want to be your woman. I want to do what you called me to do. Oh Lord, show me what to do. And God is saying, have you not seen your community? Have you not seen the mess all around you? Have you not seen the lost in your city? Have you not seen the condition of Santa Clara County? Have you not seen the world going crazy? Are there not enough messes around that you need me to tell you which one to clean up? You follow me, don't you? You see, we know enough of the heart of God that we really portray our immaturity when we do nothing waiting for him to give us a direct call. And then somehow being afraid that if we go to the South Bay versus going to the North Bay, that somehow God's going to be mad at us because we didn't do exactly what he said. And if I'm God, I'm thinking, hey, I'm just glad they're out there saving souls. I'm just glad they're doing something. Why don't we let God tell us no if we're going in a place he doesn't want us to go, just like he did to the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts, as they were headed to a certain place, and God says, I don't want you to go there, I want you to go here. He could do that because they were already on the road. How much better is it to be able to divert us and to move us while we're already going than to somehow try to apply some electric shock treatment just to get us off our tails. Amen? God's call is already apparent. It's already real by virtue of his general call, by virtue of the need in the world. It's already there. And we reveal our immaturity when we do nothing, waiting for him to call us. Now, I know there's some, there's confusion. Well, I don't know if God's really called me. I'm not so sure. I don't know. Can I just tell you, let's stop using that as an excuse to act. I remember a story of a pastor friend who took a youth team to Africa. And we've done that too. It's a wonderful place to go and powerful ministry there. And they went to Africa. And during the course of that short-term missions trip, one young man at the end said to his youth pastor, I don't want to go home. I just want to stay here. And the youth pastor said, well, fine with me. Let's call your parents. And his parents agreed. The missionary they were working with agreed. Said, yeah, he can stay. Parents said it's okay. Said, okay, you can stay. A year later, still there. But he's struggling a little bit. And he asks the youth pastor, said, you know, can you help me just really verify my call? Because I'm not so sure I've been called. And the youth pastor in wisdom said, well, how do you feel about being here? And he said, well, to be honest, I just don't want to do anything else. I love it here. This is where I'm passionate, and I don't want to do anything else with my life. And that wise youth pastor said, bud, don't worry. You're called. You're called. See, why do we have to wait for God to put that invitation on that flaming sword and thrust it in our face when all along he's already told us there are plenty of messes to clean up in his world? And if he wants us in a certain place, he'll give us a direct call. He's gracious. He'll do that. But it's really an affront and a self-condemning thing when we wait and do nothing when he's already told us to clean up messes for his kingdom. What's our response then to the call of God? My response to the call of God is not a decision to be debated, but rather an echo of my identification with the nature of God. I love Oswald Chambers. That statement just rings in my heart. It's not a decision to be debated. When God calls you, and he's called you either directly, generally, or indirectly, all of those apply, or two out of the three at least apply, and for some of us, all three may apply. It's not a debate. There isn't an opportunity for God to say, here's what I want done, and as his followers, for us to say, well, let me think about that. No, there is no thinking. God says, go, we say, yes, sir. God says, go here, we say, yes, sir. There's a mess to clean up, that's what we do. There's not a debate. There's also not a debate in regard to how it happens. Yes, Lord, I hear your call, but let me tell you how I'm going to get it done. God's smarter than us. He already knows. He already knows what he wants us to do, how he wants us to do it, and we just need to get off our tails and get busy. It's not a debate. God's called us. If we're not functioning right now for his purposes, then we're truly not following, because he's about his business. But it's an echo of my identification. As I identify with Christ, as I take on his nature, as I have my new identity and he begins to work in my life, then what happens is I begin to understand that everything I do is a result of his calling on my life. If you're a school teacher here today, you're called to that place of ministry. The school might pay your salary, but Jesus Christ has called you to that place. You might be a software engineer. He's called you to that place. He's called you to be in the neighborhood you are in. He's called you to be in that location, to serve him, to be his man, to be his woman for that time. He's already called you. That's what you're there for. Some of you, he might pluck you out of that circumstance and say, I want you in a full-time vocational ministry. That's what I do. I'm not any more special than you. My call here as your pastor does not make me one iota more important to the kingdom than you are. It's just a different function. That's all. We function differently. I can't do what you do. You can't do what I do because we're not supposed to. Our function is different. But God may be speaking to you that maybe he does want you to do something different in your life. I'm so thankful for the Hansen family. We had Brent and Scott here 2 weeks ago. Ron Hansen, their dad, was an algebra teacher until his mid-40s when he felt God's call directly to go to the continent of Africa. And he said, yes, Lord. And he raised his children in the continent of Africa. They've grown up now to be missionaries, and their children are now very direct call. Do something radically different. We got to listen because God may be calling some of you right now to a radical change in your life. That doesn't mean that if you don't hear that you're any less than the one that did. It just isn't an identification with the call of God. What does he want each of us to do? We do that. In the absence of that direct call, we do what he's already called us to do. In the understanding of that, we identify with his heart and we do what we know his will wants, and that's to clean up this world, to heal the sick, to clothe the naked, to feed the hungry, to heal those who are wounded, to help, and to bind up the weary-hearted. That's what he's called us to do already. Are we identified with him is the question. Some points to realize about the response to the call. Never consider your personal temperament or affinities along with the call of God. What does that mean? It means when you're considering, and right now you're thinking about God's call in your life, don't restrict him by considering your own likes or your own talents. I want to guarantee you something right now, that if it were my talents that judge the ability to do what I do back in the beginning, I would never, ever, ever be in a place like this teaching people in a public forum. I was the most frightened, just petrified, horrible communicator because of fear. My friends, I remember the very first time speaking in front of people, they thought I was having some kind of spasm. I'm not kidding. My legs were shaking so desperately that my pants were literally doing that. And it looked like I was spazzing out. It looked like I was just like losing it. And they go, what's wrong with you? Are you okay? No, I'm scared to death. It would have never been the choice. I was a really good behind the scenes guy. I was really good at being a helper. Really good at coming alongside the leader. And I'm with you. You go do that stuff up there. Because I don't want, no, that's not my, but I'll. But little by little, through the help of leaders that, I don't know, I guess it was God, saw something and then God's working. Now I'm able to do what I do. David was a shepherd. Is that the training ground to be a king? Peter was a fisherman. Is that the training ground to be that which God would build his church upon? Moses was a runaway murderer and then a shepherd in the wilderness. Does that give him the qualification to lead a nation? No. Listen, when you start telling God, I can't do this because I'm not this, you miss his call. Because God will do something miraculous in your life when you just say, yes, Lord. And you'll do things you never thought you could do. I'm doing things I never dreamed I would do when I was 15, 18, 20. Because this is not my choice. But God transforms. And God does truly use the foolish things to confound the wise. He says, watch what I do with the willing vessel. Watch what I do with the person. And even though you think you don't speak well. And by the way, remember when Moses was complaining to God? He was a stutterer. And God uses the stutterer to be the mouthpiece. Go figure. It's the last place he would be. Never, ever tell God and include your affinities or your temperament. Well, God, I'm not bold like that, so I can't share my faith. Nonsense. Nonsense. Well, God, I'm just not really patient. I can't disciple people. Nonsense. That's you telling God what you will and won't do. That's you telling God what you're qualified to do. God is the one who tells us what we're qualified to do. He tells us how he's going to develop us. Your job is simple. Yes, Lord. That's it. That's it. See the mess, clean it up. Hear his voice, answer it. Next one. Answering the call in service to God is the result of the overflow of love I have for him. You will answer or not. You will go or not. You will clean up the mess or not, in direct relationship to your love for God. Some of us, sadly, we haven't even noticed the mess. We've walked right through the milk puddle in the kitchen. Oh, was there a mess there? Didn't even see it. Because our hearts have been distant from God, that we're not sensitive. And I know for me, when I start losing a sensitivity for lost people, I know I'm too far from God and I haven't prayed enough, or I haven't just really pressed into God enough. And I feel that most often when I'm about in the community, when I'm at a drugstore or the bank or the grocery store, when I start seeing people and I'm thinking, they don't know you, Lord. They don't know you. And I'll pray for them even as I'm waiting in line, and I'll try to make a friend and then invite them or tell them. When I lose that and I'm just doing my thing, I realize, what was I doing? I wasn't even sensitive. So that sensitivity is birthed from your closeness with Christ. Third one, God may call you to a certain place or even a certain person. For many, the call of God is for everyday life in our usual surroundings with common things. That's the norm. When I asked about a direct call, only 3 or 4 of you raised a hand. And that was probably accurate. But the call of God isn't absent from your life. It's that you're just responding to Him in the place you are, doing what you normally do, but doing it with the mentality that everything I do is for His purposes. That's functioning in His call. Everything I do. My leisure, my fun, my vacations, my neighborhood, everything. God, I'm your servant and you're leading me always. It's for you. That's what I do. And our work is to keep our mind engaged that way. Is your mind engaged that way? Or you found yourself surprised when you actually think those thoughts? The only appropriate response to the call of God is yes, Lord. And it's a question whether or not we're saying yes, Lord, or whether we're so distant from God that we can't even hear His voice, or whether we're being just blatantly rebellious. And all those are probably somewhat true in each of us. Today, I want us to think through the call of God, realizing that some of you may have a direct call in your life and you've been resisting it. God is calling you to do something that is, in your thinking, pretty drastic. But you're afraid, and you've got your own nature intermingled with God's nature, and you're afraid He's going to send you to that horrible place. Some of you have just been kind of not aware. Just kind of going through life, going paycheck to paycheck, just doing your best to make it, and not even thinking that God has you on a purpose because you're a Christian. For others, you realized God's touch on your life, but you've been resistant to it. And you've been really, really good at telling Him no and telling Him exactly what you're going to do. And He should just be happy with what He gets. Church, we need to change. And we need to answer His call. When we do, there is joy. It's joy. Because He's the God who calls us to fulfill us according to His purposes. Let's pray. Father, I thank You, Lord, for Your word today. I thank You for Your truth. And I pray for each person here today, each man, woman, each teenager. And I ask You, Lord, to help us. We need Your help. Some in this room maybe resisting a direct call. You've asked them to do something that they're afraid to do. You've asked them to do something they don't want to do. And they're nervous about it. God, I pray that today they would choose to submit to You in all things. That they would say, yes, Lord, realizing that saying no to You is really not an option as a follower. There are others, Father, that I know maybe have thought they didn't have a calling, but now they realize they do. That we've all been called to go into all the world, make disciples, teach people in Your power and authority. Now, knowing that, God, I pray that you'd help them to see everything in their life as your call. And that everything they do is a ministry. There may be others, Lord, that are too distant to really recognize your voice. And I pray, Father, today we would press in close. So like David's mighty men, we can hear when you just whisper. And we're willing and ready to respond. To clean up and bring home every child that's lost. I praise you, Lord. Move on this body right now in Jesus' name. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, nobody looking around, I want to ask, are there any this morning that would say, I believe, a direct call on my life, but I've been resisting it. I know that God is calling me, but I'm afraid, or I just don't want to. But today I realize that there's really only one option, and that's to say yes to my Lord. If that's you this morning, would you slip up a hand? I want to pray with you. Yeah, thank you. You can put it down. Yeah, thank you. You can put it down. Yeah, it's powerful. Maybe others of you that have just not really seen your daily life as a calling. You're doing your work and you kind of see the ministry as isolated to what happens at the church or a church program. But now you realize everything you do is as a result of the calling of God to go into all the world. And now that you've got that refocus, now you have the understanding of some change that needs to happen in your daily life. If that's you today, now you realize that you do have a calling. You do have a purpose. Would you slip up your hand? Yeah, all over. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. You can put thumbs down. So many people. Yeah. Let's pray together, shall we? And just ask God to solidify that. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that if you're calling people, Lord, there may be some right now that are feeling the calling into full-time vocational ministry. Maybe there are some feeling the call right now, Lord. You're calling them to go to another country and become a missionary. Others, Lord, they are already functioning where you want them to function as a tech worker, a teacher, or a construction worker, or maybe they're retired or a student. But now, Lord, they realize that their life is a calling. And they're ready to set out to fulfill that for you. I pray for them this morning, Lord. And I ask in Jesus' name that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would help us in every way to follow you, to serve you on purpose, according to the calling we have in our lives. Help us to not be immature, Lord, and to ask your will when you've already given us your will. To wait and be inactive, like an immature child waiting to have to be told, when you've already told us. Help us to be mature, Lord, and be about your business, cleaning up messes everywhere we see them. We do need you, Lord. And I pray in Jesus' name that by the power of your Holy Spirit, we would see a transformation in our church as each one of us answers your call. I thank you and give you praise, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.